This is the Rich Eisen Show. Get ready now.
And the 2023 Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
So what do you think is going on with Raider Nation now?
We got the wrong guy at the helm. Josh McDaniels is not a good football coach.
Today's guests, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, CBS Sports NFL analyst Amy Trask, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show underway. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen, who will join us momentarily from New York because he's scared to leave me alone in front of a microphone, and I don't blame him. But welcome back, everybody. Happy to be with you. 844-204-RICH. Call in. You've got Amy Trask coming up in the next hour. You can ask her questions. The highest-ranking woman in the history of the National Football League. Also, my compadre on What the Football. And if you missed downloading What the Football wherever you find your podcasts, now is a good time to do it, as we had Warren Sapp on yesterday. And Chris Brockman, he referred to the end of the Bill Belichick era of football. It is getting traction around. It's getting picked up or aggregated. Aggregated is the word the kids use.
I like to think that I was out in front of this Belichick hot seat. I was saying it at the start of last year. And, you know, it's nice for everyone else to come around.
Yeah, only you're not Warren Sapp. Only you're not QB Killa with a little bit of a platform. And we'll
bring in
Rich at this.
I'm not fishing. I'm not.
Yeah, Rich is who's also not Warren Sapp. Hi.
But he didn't see. He said that the Patriot way is dead.
Yeah,
that's what he said. I don't think he said that Belichick is done, but he said that the Patriot way of winning football games is dead. And Warren's always been saying that defense wins championships is a dead phrase. He goes, it'll give you a chance. He said offense wins championships. He was saying that when you were a segment producer for Marshall Faulk on Game Day Morning. That's how long ago Warren was saying that. And I don't know if that's connective tissue to what he told you, Suze, and Amy, that that the Patriot way is dead and that even Belichick knows it, is what he's saying. And how McDaniels is just the latest offshoot of a team trying to bring the Patriot way into their house and it not working out. And that is definitely something that has been said for a long time. And the only one who could pull it off is Belichick, because he has the rings and the trophies to have the standing to go in front of a room of men and say, this is the way we're going to do it. So that's what I found fascinating about his conversation with you, Susie, and Amy yesterday. And Warren just has a very unique way of saying things and boiling things down to some very simple talk, where he basically said McDaniels is not the guy, which is the subtext of all Raider fans' concerns about this team coming in and sending Derek Carr away and giving number four to Aiden O'Connell. He doesn't start over Brian Hoyer in Chicago, but finally does put into the game in Chicago after Brian Hoyer throws a pick six and Devontae Adams is getting targets and they're all empty calories in terms of wins in so many different ways. And Max Crosby is out there, which is what you need to win games in this league, is somebody to put pressure on the quarterback. And he's an A++ version of that. And right now they're under 500 because Tyson Bagent out of Division II Shepherd went ahead and played a better game at quarterback than anybody that McDaniels put out there on Sunday and put it all together. And when he said that to you and Amy, Suze, it resonated. It left a mark. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think we could extrapolate it even further, though, Rich. I think that what he was saying is, and this is why I said the era, is that it's these offshoots. It's these coaches across the league who think that they can win with the Bill Belichick playbook. And we haven't seen that many coaches be that successful. So either it's only Bill's special sauce, a lot of conversation about whether he can win without Brady at all. But I think Warren comes in through the front door always.
Yes, he does.
And was outstanding, I thought, yesterday on What the Football.
And so, I can't wait to have you talk about it, expand on it a little bit more with Amy in the third hour. And before Bruce Feldman joins the show, I wanted to pop on with you guys and talk a little bit more about my alma mater in Michigan. And it's kind of, it's a drip, drip, drip. Every day something's coming out of ESPN and ESPN.com with Pete Thamel following the Michigan staffers' penchant for buying tickets around the country. Like, soon we're going to find out maybe today that Connor Stallions bought tickets to Cats to start scouting the family pet for Harbaugh. You know, like, we're trying to see what else is he buying tickets to go see around the country. And all of them appear to be set up to make sure that Michigan knew things that they shouldn't. And I can't wait to hear what Bruce Feldman has to say. And I've said over and over and over again that if Michigan did something that it shouldn't, it should pay the piper with whatever is the appropriate punishment to fit the crime based on whatever has happened before, even though the scale of this appears to be unprecedented. Again, appears to be. In the meantime, though, shots are going to get sent in Michigan's direction in quite a way. And yesterday I was saying, you know, because we hadn't known yet if this staffer was trying to give a peep to potential national championship or national playoff semifinalist opponents for Michigan. And then we heard from ESPN yesterday that is, in fact, was the case, that he started looking at some non-conference teams, or at least bought tickets to those games. And I said it just didn't matter, you know, if they scouted Georgia or not 2 years ago. Suze, you were there when we were all on vacation together, and I was on New Year's Eve watching Georgia beat the crap out of my Wolverines. And I think I've been talked about on the show that Taylor, our then, I guess, 8-7-year-old, came up and gave me these beads to put around my neck because she was wishing me Happy New Year, and I looked very sad because it was just a total blowout. As I said yesterday, Kirby Smart could have been holding up a sign that said, "We're about to run the ball. We're about to pass the ball," and Michigan couldn't stop it. And obviously, you know, as Todd Blackledge said yesterday, this scheme, if it did exist, is something that would help the defense know what the offense is doing. That defensively, is it how it would help you, and not so much on offense, that you'd still have to see it and try and be stopped, or try to stop it, even if you know that it's coming. So long story short is, then those words were out of my mouth, and it's entirely possible, as I was saying that on the set, Kirby Smart was being asked this question about Michigan maybe having Georgia's signs in that very game, and his response was notable, to say the least.
I guess the necessary follow-up, that's obviously coming about Michigan. You played Michigan. You aware, in retrospect or at the time, anything unusual?
No, I didn't notice anything or know anything. Nobody we talked to, you know, warned us or any of that. I mean, I think everybody we play, they say, they steal your signals. I mean, we play somebody, they always like, they're great at stealing your signals, but what they're referencing is different than stealing them. I mean, they're coming in, you know, like they're talking about people coming to film them. That's completely different. But we've tried to, you know, hide the signals, hold the calls, put signs up, do all that. But I was nothing I remember about the Michigan game that makes me think that.
Yeah, it's called play better than that. You know, that's what they did. They played better than that.
It's not, of course, nothing would stand out because, you know, we got our asses beat by him. I mean, and if, you know, and it's kind of funny, the reaction that a lot of folks were saying is like, that's savage, that's ice cold. It's the truth. They kicked Michigan's ass up and down the block, and it's just, you know, this is part and parcel, and it's tough for Wolverine fans to, you know, handle this because it has put Michigan in the crosshairs of everything that's happened the last 2 years is all because of this. And I will always push back to say these kids are incredibly talented and that their talent is something that rules the day, and that it's only going to have to be up to Michigan from here on out after its bye week to go and beat the crap out of Purdue and then Penn State and then Maryland and then the Ohio State, with them all being supposedly on notice, even though everybody in the last 2 years had already been on notice and should have known what was coming in to say we should change our signs and things of that nature. And, you know, still, somebody shooting it with a phone, that is beyond the rules, and it should be, again, punished. But I found it fascinating to me, Deion Sanders' response when it was brought up to Prime yesterday, this very subject placed in front of Prime and what he thought about it.
everyone's trying to get an edge. I mean, everyone's trying to get whatever edge they can. You could have someone's whole game plan. They could mail it to you. You still got to stop it. You still got to stop it. So in football, it's not as pronounced as baseball. If I know a curveball is coming, I got you. You know, with football, I don't give a darn. If you know a sweep is coming, you still got to stop it. Physically, it's a physical game. You got to stop it. So that's a little tough. I don't buy into a lot of that stuff that someone's stealing this, stealing that. I don't buy into a lot of that stuff. You still got to play the game. Back in our glory days with San Francisco as well as the Cowboys, you know darn well Emmitt Smith is getting the ball. You know darn well Mike Irvin is running the comeback. You know darn well Jay Novacek is going to do what he's going to do, and you couldn't stop it. It is what it is. Stop it.
I love, man. And obviously, you know, that to me, I'll say it, sounds like a guy without an axe to grind on Jim Harbaugh like everybody else does. So he's spitting you what he believes is the truth. And obviously it is something that I'm going to hang my hat on, because I don't like the sense that the last 2 years has been rendered completely moot because of all of this. And it's tough to swallow. And I can't wait to see what the next four games looks like, because there's a lot at stake, not just for this year, but for the last 2 years. And that's the way this thing is growing, because each passing day, drip, 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 something's coming out. And I can't wait to see when this thing is going to come to a head. When will the NCAA say something? When will the Big Ten say something? Because until then, this drip, drip, drip is going to lead to all of this stuff. And then Jim was on a podcast apparently in Michigan earlier this week, talking about how he's going to get a tattoo if he's 15-0 this year. So he seems unbothered and unconcerned by it, which is great, because there's still football to be played. But those are my two cents, my straight up honest, you know, in my heart, in my gut opinion on all this. And I can't wait to hear what Bruce Feldman's going to say with you, Suze, about what is happening in this investigation. What is fact? What is not? What is against the rules? What is not? What has happened? And when are we going to hear about it?
Yeah, and who rules first? Is it the Big Ten? Is it the NCAA? Because I think it's the Big Ten that can basically do more first, because it would be within the conference and it would be up to them to decide whether this is sportsmanlike or unsportsmanlike. I want to ask Bruce, but it does remind me, as I said in the first hour, of when things started to go south at USC with the Reggie Bush issues. And then suddenly it started pilfering around, and suddenly Pete Carroll got a one-way ticket out of Los Angeles. And I would feel awful for you and for the Michigan Nation if this is the end of the Harbaugh era.
Well, again, and I don't know. I have no idea, because there's so much going on behind the scenes of how he might be feeling, how the administration of the school is handling it with him behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. And I think really it's the NCAA that's going to have to act, because, you know, at this point in time, Michigan can't respond because it's under investigation. But somebody keeps talking to Pete Thamel of ESPN,
right,
and telling him about this school has tickets, that school has tickets, this guy's doing this, this guy's doing that. And the question is, was this guy doing it at the direction of the school, or was this guy saying, you know, I'm in charge of stealing signs, or I'm in charge of knowing the signs? How about that? I'm in charge of decoding the signs. And he goes ahead and does all this stuff on his own, and then Michigan just thinks he's as great at it as he is. I honestly don't know what to make of any of this, and I can't wait for it to be over so we could close the book and move on if it's necessary, and serve whatever penalty that's coming or not, because there's not much to it, because the rules say one thing and he did another, or anything of that nature.
You know as well as I do that the history of college football is littered with people who said that they were operating on their own without the coach knowing what they were doing. And it's going to be really tricky to be able to prove a connection between the head coach and said stallion, from our friend from the Valley. And
yeah,
so it'll be really hard to tell. I mean, you're going to need, they're going to have to, I would imagine, seize a computer, look at emails. And also the NCAA takes forever to do anything. So the question is how fast they'll turn this around. And it's a good thing that Bruce is coming on next, so I can ask him.
Seems like you've got something to say, Chris. I could see that look on your face. You can go ahead. Go ahead and say what you want.
Just well, two things. It's really not the point as if it worked. It's the point that you knew it was against the rules and they did it anyway. And then I'm just wondering if, will the tattoo have an asterisk? I'm just confused.
Nice. All right. Well, the test. Well, I think, again, the Ohio State fans would have a good time hearing about the word tattoo, since obviously that's what cost Jim Tressel his gig back in the day.
Which seems and insane that's, now.
Well, exactly. Under the current construct of the world in college football, it seems insane that somebody that got tattoos instead of cash or whatever for, you know, their name, image, and likeness back in the day, that it would cost a guy a gig. Someone who you liked a lot, Suze, when you were covering Jim Tressel. I think there's even a Jim Tressel signed Ohio State hat to me that he gave to you to give to me somewhere in our studio.
You mean
that,
cousin
that hat
Jim?
Exists.
Cousin Jim.
That's right. I know, right? Yeah. No, I you know what I mean? So I totally understand what you're saying, and I can't wait to hear what Bruce Feldman has to say on the subject matter.
Yeah, like you said, Rich, it's just been a slow drip of news kind of since last weekend, so you're just kind of wondering what's next.
And Kirby's smart, man. He's got every reason to say, I have no idea. I didn't see anything of that. Because they just absolutely dismantled Michigan.
Shellacked them. It was just
Well, I mean, you don't have to keep adding adjectives.
They pounded them. They brutalized them. They looked like a bunch of babies out there. It was
all right. Wow. So, wow. Okay. So why don't you get to Bruce? He's probably waiting.
I can't wait. I look forward to hear what he has said. I'm not going to lie. You look good, honey.
Thanks, Suze.
It's a gorgeous
you have to say it's
there.
So surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
You look
very good.
You look good.
Oh my God! You went higher register.
Higher register. Uh-oh.
Very good.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if that's
Thank
a
you.
Real backdrop because I haven't seen an airplane.
It does look
or
like
anything.
A fake
yeah,
backdrop.
It looks like it could be fake. A blind
a
that
painting?
You just pulled down.
What are you talking about?
I haven't seen a plane or a boat move in the back or anything.
Are you green screen right now? Are you green screening?
It's kind of
I'm
awesome.
I'm watching a boat move.
Yeah.
I'm watching
it's
a helicopter
day
fly.
In the city.
Come on now. What do you think? Yeah. What? I faked the moon landing so I got out of doing the show today? No, I'm going tonight. I'm hosting this thing for Del Tufo.
Yeah.
So it'll be great.
See?
Hey, come back
it,
with
Mike.
Some hardware, will you,
get it,
please?
Mike.
I'll do that.
Some
All right.
pasta and some hardware.
All right, kids. All right, see you
Rich.
Later,
see you, Rich.
Oh, wait. So Koopy's going to be on after Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have him on.
Fantastic.
And I'm
nice.
Going to advise him not to do anything with Chris Brockman, who is totally untrustworthy. So there we go. That's how this is going to go.
No, that'll be fun. Hold a minute. Before you go, what is the trade? What do you got? You don't want to reveal it?
Well,
he's not listening now.
I don't want you to text him and then give him a heads up.
You know? I'm not. I'm out. I'm,
wow.
By the
you
way,
you wouldn't want me
I'm
to
out.
Protect my child in advance from a predator?
I'm just
wow.
curious.
That is
I'm curious.
So fantasy predator.
What do you got?
I'm not going to tell you.
What do you
Salty
got,
Salty Schuster.
I'm definitely not going to tell
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. See you later, guys.
Bye, Rich.
All right. Bye, honey. Bye, honey. Thanks for dropping by the Rich Eisen show.
Fantasy predator. Jeez.
In case you were wondering, you can get that logo that Rich is wearing in case you want a beacon in the night or you're walking your dog at night and you want to, like, you know, stand out.
I mean, the Batman's about to pop up. Like, it's just getting
you guys.
Blasted into the sky.
You guys.
That was one of the rejected logos, I'm saying. All right, can I tell you about Game Time, please, before
please
we
do.
Go?
Please do.
Because I'm the one who has to get the tickets most of the time, except for not this weekend because Rich is taking Coop and his buddies Ryan and Owen to the Buffs. UCLA Bruins game.
Oh, nice.
A clap.
Sweet.
And that's going to be so much fun. I actually sat out just for this reason so that he could take one of his buddies. But Game Time helped us out, you guys. They always do. When you are trying to find tickets to a show or a concert or a play or what have you, you go to Game Time. Because the Game Time app is easy and you can always see where you're getting your seats. Because when I'm buying for my kids and I have to make sure that Taylor can see, I don't want to be obstructed. I can get into the Game Time app. I can go there and I can make sure that I can see the seating. I can make sure that she can see the stage and not be sitting on my lap the whole time, which has happened so many times. They're a great way to find your tickets too. They also, you can buy tickets up until an hour after wherever you're going. And so say you have like no plans at the last minute. You're just like, you know, I want to go see the show. You can go there, get those seats. No matter what, you're going to find it. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH for $20 off of your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create the account. Redeem the code RICH, that's RICH, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Bruce Feldman, when we come back, we're going to ask him what the heck is happening in Michigan.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
First one up, Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it. Oh.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by and clean my husband's office for me so I don't lock him out of the house. Hi, Bruce. How are
you? Do they flip the sign around?
I have my own sign.
You have your own sign.
I mean, I put Rich's over here. I take off the best dad ever because, let's face it, who was the one at 3 a.m. dealing with the kids last night?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he doesn't get credit for that.
No. I will say this, and you're not surprised. Rich is a great dad and incredibly hands-on. But I'm just saying, like, you know.
Needs to keep kept on track.
Yeah. You know, get out the whips. How are you, Bruce? What's going on?
I'm doing good. You know what's going on? Best dad ever's alma mater's going on. It's just it's like constantly.
It's crazy.
Bruce, I mean, it sounds so simple to say this. What the heck is going on? I mean, because every day we're getting little bits of information as opposed to one collective release so we actually know. So all we are left to do is surmise, in your opinion, what is really happening at the University of Michigan?
I think there's a lot of angst right now inside Michigan because you have this team that is a great team with all these veteran leaders who've come back. They have dominated everybody they played. And yet this is now going to hang over the rest of the season because there's a lot of what seems to be damning evidence that is mounting about signal stealing that goes into the category of advanced scouting, which is different than the signal stealing that is normally kind of accepted as part of college football and football in general, which is the in-game stuff. Connor Stallions, who was he's a 28-year-old Naval Academy grad who was on staff. He wasn't a position coach. He has since been suspended, but this was a guy who had a reputation inside the program as being very, very good at cracking another team's signals. And it's something he took pride in. And somebody who knows him a little bit, that wasn't a secret. Now, the part that's different here is that there seems to be documentation that is piled up showing him buying tickets to, it seems like, have people or himself film a team's signals ahead of time. And that is definitely against the rules, especially if he's doing it. How much of an advantage does it give Michigan? I think it depends on who you talk to among the coaching world, because there's a lot of coaches who feel like, okay, this is wrong, but also some of this has gone on in pockets. We've just never seen as high profile of a situation where it seems to have come to light. And how quickly will the NCAA be able to, I don't want to say get out in front of it, but my sense, and we've talked about this on the show with Rich, is that Jim Harbaugh, who's obviously danced with the NFL a couple times the last 2 years, and he has a really good record as an NFL head coach in the past, will bounce after this season. And the stuff that he's already in the middle of the NCAA hot water with in terms of COVID violations during the COVID dead period from a few years ago, that they won't be able to do anything to him. Now, they may be able to add sanctions to his alma mater, Michigan. But what happens with this? Can they get out in front of him? Or, you know, if Michigan wins a national title, you know, does that something that could be taken away? I don't think anybody has any answers to this right now.
I mean, I have so many questions to follow up. I want to ask you about sloppy forensics, but when you say that, I said this earlier, it just makes me think of the years at USC when they went on with the Reggie Bush, Carson Palmer years, and Pete Carroll bounced for Seattle and left behind a whole hot mess behind him. I mean, what are the similarities to you?
Well, in the case of that, you know, Reggie Bush's case, so USC really kind of thumbed its nose at the NCAA, and a lot of times schools are very or seemingly, you know, cooperative with the investigation. That was not the case with USC, and the NCAA hammered USC after that, and it was really about the case with Reggie. And what was weird there was you had an agent who an NFL agent who was trying to get Reggie, and there were benefits involved. And the curious part of that, or the I don't know if it's ironic, but they were really trying to do something to get Reggie to leave. And when he left, it wasn't like, hey, these are benefits to come to USC. And that's where it kind of blew up in their face and they hammered them. This, like, I personally do not feel like, okay, you know, Reggie lost his Heisman. I don't feel like that is people are looking at it going, oh yeah, USC didn't win those games or whatnot. In this case, I think you will have some people argue, hey, they're winning some of these games because they have the answers to the test ahead of time. And that's the part that falls into the competitive balance. I think it depends on how many coaches you talk to and who you talk to. Certain coaches feel a lot more strongly about that than others. But that's the benefit of the doubt that Michigan is going to lose in a lot of people's eyes.
And you saw that Deion Sanders said it doesn't really matter. You have to be better. He talked about his Cowboys. Everybody knew what they were going to do. Emmitt Smith was going to run the ball. Michael was going to go ball out. But Michigan's in a position in which they have really talented guys who could go on to win the championship. Number one, how fast will the NCAA work? Number two, will it be the NCAA or will it be the Big Ten? And number three, what does it say for this season? I mean, I never like to ask three questions in a row, but my head's exploding.
So let me get to I would be surprised. It could be the Big Ten. I would be surprised if it was the Big Ten. Because from what I'd heard, I don't know how much the Big Ten has everything, whereas the NCAA may be out in front of this a little more. I just would be surprised if the Big Ten was going to shut down a flagship program like that.
They want Michigan to be in the championship.
They do, it benefits them. It benefits their brand. It just adds so much. You know, I get it. They're going to get a lot of pushback from some of the schools in their conference. Now, the other layers to this that I think are really interesting is if you're Michigan and right now, like, they've smashed schools. It hasn't been close to anybody. But now the pretty much their schedule falls into two games of the regular season. It's Penn State, which is on the road, and Ohio State comes to play them. You have to think those schools are going to be so buttoned up, whether they're going to use wristbands or they're going to change all their signals. You know, whatever intel that Michigan has or may have, it's probably not going to be applicable. So
it's all changed now.
Yeah. So I think if you're a Michigan person, you're going to go, look, it's going to come down to that. I mean, I will say this. I talked to a coach on one of the Big Ten teams they've already beaten. And this coach was like, if they had anything on us, nothing like out of the ordinary, they didn't have any like calls or anything that was like, they just whipped us because they were a lot better than us. Now, last year, going into the Ohio State-Michigan game, I did a story where I talked to a lot of coaches who played both teams. And one of the coaches I talked to was a running back coach, said this, and I didn't even think about this when this story broke last Wednesday, but a colleague of mine pointed this out in the story that I had where this coach said, Michigan had our stuff early. They had both sides of the ball. They had all our signals. And so, you know, it kind of supports to some degree that there was some advanced intel that they would have had. I just think it's just a fascinating story on a lot of levels, including the part which you said, which you were talking about before we came on, which is like, man, some of this stuff is really sloppy. You know, you talked about the forensics piece of this. Like, that's the part where I'm like, okay, we got a Naval Academy grad. It doesn't add up. This is not like the Galooly world of the, you know, Tonya Harding days of like, these are really, you know, sloppy, you know, characters and bad actors in here. You just wouldn't think they would be, you know, like have it so traceable.
That's exactly what we were saying. Again, Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster in for Rich. That's what we were saying, is that it's one thing to be cavalier and cocky. It's another thing in 2023 to be using your personal credit cards to be a staff member of the Michigan football team and to be that lazy, that sloppy, which leads me to believe in some strange way. Was he just trying to boost his self-worth? Did he actually connect it to Harbaugh? Was he actually putting this into play? It feels way too Keystone Cops and stupid, frankly.
It does. I mean, like, you know, part of me sitting there thinking about this, you know, just as like, I would guess, you know, like I'm not great with technology. I am of that age where I'm just not, right? Like your kids are probably more adept at certain things than Rich is, right?
No doubt.
And so, but he's not, you know, me and Del Tufo's age where it's like he's a 28-year-old who is trained in the, you know, in the military. You just think like it defies a little logic.
It almost feels like a strange plant to bring. I mean, it's so insane, and I know it's not. Let me make that clear. But it's so insane and so lazy for a military guy who's very bright, you would know.
That part doesn't add up to me, right? And so I think there is a part of this where, from talking to people who know Connor pretty well, that this was something he took pride in. I know he took pride in this. And this was like, you know, the idea of, hey, here's a military guy. And, you know, people can find stuff that he's written online or had written online in the past that kind of reflects this. It's something you took pride in. So if this is something you're really, really good at, and people know you're really, really good at, and people you really respect, because obviously everything I've heard is he was a diehard Michigan fan long before he ever, you know, was on their sidelines, that, okay, what can I do to sharpen my skills? What else can I do? Because if this is what you think about, you know, coaches go to clinics, coaches do all these things to try to get better at their craft. You know, did he brainstorm? And again, I think there's plenty of people. You don't need to be a Ohio State fan to go like, okay, this definitely feels like Jim Harbaugh had to know. Head coaches have to know where the information is coming from. It strains credibility to think that they would have no knowledge of what this guy, because at the end of the day, you have to trust this person who's giving you information, going, yeah, you should call this, or this is what they're doing here. Because, like, why would you believe that person if they didn't have a track record of being extremely prescient?
You have to wonder, you said the words which really, like, set me off, diehard fan. It's very dangerous to put diehard fans on your staff, because that means they'll be desperate to have a win come. So they want to make themselves feel more relevant or more valuable or what have you. And the minute you add a fan into the mix, You're playing with somebody who's willing to do almost anything that they can possibly do to be relevant. And people are saying now, well, what are you going to do? It's always been around, sign stealing, whether you're going to go. You can't obviously go on the road like he did and line up tickets to steal these signs, but it's been around forever. So what's the answer? I mean, you cannot move, I don't think, to the NFL with having the in-helmet, because not every campus can afford that.
I think that's a question. I've talked to coaches this week who are like, this is a 5-minute fix in terms of if they did go to the NFL model. And some teams use that in spring football. It's just not cleared for in game. I think, you know, on the point you just made about the diehard fan, and just thinking about this, like this years ago, but I remember talking, you know, got some anonymous tips from some fan about some other schools cheating. And he was like, well, this school would never cheat. I was like, any place where they have like obsessed fans, they have the potential to have some kind of scandal. Mm-hmm. Because all it takes is some, you know, a couple of boosters with some money who want to show how important they are, feel that much more connected, that they can do some really shady stuff, because players are, and their families are pretty accessible now. Everybody knows who's getting recruited and who people think are valued recruits. So that part is not a stretch to think that's the parallel that could happen. But in terms of a fix, I think it is a case of, look, if the NFL can make it happen, colleges, there's tons of money. Now, does that mean Division III schools can go to the NFL model, or even FCS programs? Maybe not, but that's ultimately where the money is. So it's like, if they can fix it, they probably need to fix it. It's just, from what I've heard, there are some coaches out there who are like, they lean on that stealing signals, and that works to their benefit. So maybe they do not want their ADs or their presidents at the end of the day to vote for those things to go through.
Bruce Feldman joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. You said follow the money, and that takes me to USC. Unfortunately, that's a weird segue that just comes into my head. Obviously, we know what's happening there, but what's your opinion on where you're seeing USC going with losses and the surprises? Do you think there's anything to the idea that Caleb Williams getting money in advance means he's just not as hungry as he would have been in the past to win, because you already have a huge bankroll?
I don't think that that's it. I think what you have right now is you have a team that had a terrible defense last year. It's not much better now. You see, like last week, they had a chance to finish off Utah. You know, one of their talented former five-star recruits who came from Georgia has two, you know, really bad plays that end up costing them and give Utah more opportunity. I think you also see a team that's like Caleb covered up a lot of flaws. Not just on the defense, but on the offensive line. Their offensive line is worse this year than it was last year. And going to see them play Notre Dame and South Bend a couple weeks ago, you could see physically they did not look like what an SE offensive line should look like. And I think what happens is you can keep it on track for a while, and Caleb's a phenomenal talent, but I think there's some flaws that eventually got exposed, right? And I think you see a team that still is struggling with its identity, because it's like for so long, I think they can lean on, hey, we got the best player in college football. He's going to cover it up. He's going to fix it. Well, against Notre Dame, they had five turnovers. He threw three picks in the first half. And now all of a sudden that facade, if you want to call it that, was kind of punctured or fell apart. And now like they played a Utah team that's a tough, physically and mentally tough team. And they were not intimidated by USC at all because they beat them twice last year. And then they ended up coming back to get them. Like, they'll play Cal this weekend. I think they'll win that game. And then they have Washington next week. Washington's loaded. And Washington, to me, is a bad matchup for them because not only they have Michael Penix Jr. and a good system, but they have really good receivers. And USC, to me, their biggest issue, micro, is that their defensive backs are not very good. They're not playing with much confidence. They don't tackle well. They don't seem to react. They just seem like they're not playing with a lot of confidence. And I wonder if it's this. It's that they go up against Caleb Williams and some, you know, a lot of firepower every day at practice. And maybe it's hard to build confidence that way.
And yet you'd think that if you're spending this much money for a head coach, these are not little errors. These are obvious. If you're spending this much money and putting this much money into a program, how do these errors keep getting exposed?
I think that they went from whatever they were, 4-8 to like an 11-win team last year. They got a lot better. Sure, certainly a lot of that was Caleb, and a lot of that was Lincoln Riley bringing an identity on offense. But they, you know, like the schedule is a little harder this year than it was last year. I do think they're better on defense, but even it's not that much. And also, like last year, they would fall apart in the fourth quarter of games. That just, it happened as the year went on. I think that could happen now. Like, I mean, if they go 9-3, like they're better. It's just like I think in my own read, I thought they were going to be a playoff team because I thought Caleb was that much better than everybody else. And I still think he is the best quarterback in the country, but you know, they're not good enough in a lot of places. They don't have that much of a margin for error, you know? And so ultimately you're going to get got two or three times. And I think that's what they are. And they just don't have enough good players. They do not have a good enough offensive line. They don't have enough quality on defense. They're kind of undisciplined. They are undisciplined. I don't think you're kind of undisciplined. They are undisciplined because that showed last week at late in the game. And it shows at times. And those things, I think, you know, Lincoln Riley, those are the things he has to get right. That they need to be a more disciplined team. They need to recruit better on the offensive line. The portal can help, but it couldn't do everything for them.
Last question. At the end of the season, finish the sentence, Michigan football is going to?
It's a good question. Michigan football is going to drive a lot of eyeballs, no matter what. I think it's going to be really hard for the NCAA to get out in front of this. Like the only thing I can compare it to is like about a decade ago or a dozen years ago, Cam Newton took college football by storm when he came from junior college back to the SEC. And he was the best college football player I've ever seen. And there was all kinds of drama about the NCAA was going to get them or whatever. And they won a national title. And it was almost all Cam Newton, right? He was the only, like they had one other big time guy, Nick Fairley, who was a draft guy. And if I'm not mistaken, they still got all that. You know, and he still got his Heisman, and people can believe what they're, you know, how they feel about it. You know, the question is, can Michigan, I think they are, like, if you asked me 8 days ago, I think Michigan was the team I picked to win a national title. I think J.J. McCarthy's playing at a really high level. I'm sure they will do the us against the world thing, that it's not just Ohio against the world with Ryan Day. I think it's us against the world thing. I think the question, again, is can the NCAA may, you know, like, man, what does that look like? I don't know. You know, I just, it's so, I could be wrong on this, and I probably will be, but like, it just doesn't seem like the NCAA ever moves this fast.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. So I think at some point, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh wins, Jim Harbaugh leaves. I don't know where, you know, I don't know if he goes to the Bears. I don't know if he goes to the Chargers. I don't know where he goes, but I don't think he's going to be there next year.
And Rich Eisen cries. Oh, he's going to lose his mind.
You know, will he be conflicted if he wins a national title and then they lose the national title? How does that work?
I think it's going to be a nightmare all around. How about
is it a bigger nightmare than being 2-5 and losing to Ohio? They didn't even play Ohio State the pandemic year when they. But is it, which is the worst nightmare to the huge Michigan fan, to get
losing to Ohio State? Period.
Period.
End of story.
Yes.
Bruce, thank you for your time. I'll see you in a couple weeks when Rich is in Germany.
Sounds good. I enjoyed it.
Good to see you. Thanks again. We'll close up the second hour with the Rich Eisen Show when we come back, and then Amy Trask to start the third hour.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am. Boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
We have something called Celebrity True or False, if you wouldn't mind letting us know if some of these things are true or false. Spent 7 years living in Greece as a teenager. Is that a true story?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I went to high school. I graduated high school there. My dad was with the American Embassy when I was a kid. We were actually in Beirut, Lebanon, and the war got evacuated from Beirut to Athens, Greece, and my dad got reassigned to the embassy there and was there for actually 6 years, not seven.
No kidding. So are you fluent in Greek? Are you?
Xeris Ligo Hellenica.
Was that, what did you just say?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. No, I said I speak a little Greek, but you know, my wife and I took our kids over there a few years ago, and I definitely got yelled at by a few people when I was in, you know, trying to overextend my command of the language, but I could get around.
Well, you know, if it has nothing to do with Giannis these days, as sport at Tetekumpo, we have no idea as a sports about whether you were talking Greek or not, unless we don't hear that name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't
right
even
now.
Know right now what I'm talking
about. Well, what do you
mean? Giannis, the NBA player.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, Giannis, that's John, as you know. Giannis is John, just so you know.
Actually, I did not know that.
Yeah, Giannis, Yorgos is George, Giannis is John.
So he's John Antetokounmpo?
That's right.
I had no idea. So if we,
I don't think you're telling the truth.
I swear I am. Yeah, for sure, Yannis. Absolutely.
So should I just call him Johnny A from now on?
From now on, you can.
Johnny A, my guy from the Bucks, Johnny A.
I'm like a Wikipedia page for you. You are. Right, I mean, how have you guys survived on the show all these years without me?
Well, I just gotta. We gotta get you on more.
Sorry, I was busy texting to try to get Cooper on the horn here so that I can tell him not to listen to Chris Brockman. This is going to be a dicey. I've never actually had a kid on.
What are you talking about?
To interview on a show before.
We've never had that.
No.
Well, no, because I always say you can't have one of the kids on.
With Rich. Kid. He's your kid. Kid.
Hey, Coopy, are you on, buddy?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Coopy.
Cooper. What's up, brother?
Hi, sweet guy. How's your flex day from school today?
It's good. We were on the way to school, and then Taylor said she had a sore throat, so we had to go back home.
Oh, so you had to get up early to take Taylor to school only for her not to go to school.
Exactly.
This is a rough day.
Cooper, you're basically like Kawhi Leonard. You're getting load managed from school right now.
You can handle a load management, right? A little day off is good for you, right, Cooper?
Yeah, totally.
Get your work done, rest
Ferris
up.
Bueller.
Eat some protein. Coop, let me tell you this, and thank you for joining us, Cooper Eisen, on the Rich Eisen Show. Cooper, be really careful of Chris Brockman because he has a trade suggestion for you, and I will throw this to Chris Brockman, but Coopy-Doo.
Yes.
You don't have to take the trade. You hear me?
Is it Jason Tatum because he's a Celtics fan?
Cooper, you know, I've known you since you couldn't speak, okay? You're a Celtics fan, just like me. You had the fifth pick in our fantasy draft. I knew you were taking Tatum. You took him last year. I knew it was happening.
True.
However, I want to make you an offer. I want to acquire Tatum from you. Okay. Anyone on my team is available. However, I am going to generously offer Kevin Durant and LeBron James for Jason Tatum. What do you say to that offer?
I'll think about that. I think that's kind of interesting, but like everyone's like saying LeBron James is too old. I don't know about that. He's had some good games, like, and also we saw Austin Reeves. He had a good game yesterday. Kevin Durant does seem really interesting, but I am a Jason Tatum fan. But I will definitely think about that.
Okay, so it's not
you
a
sure,
not,
Cooper?
Not
are
a
you
no.
sure? I you mean, sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? How would that help you, Cooper, though? Because Chris just thinks about himself. So how would that actually help you?
I think it would help me because I think both Kevin Durant and LeBron James can really get like double doubles and stuff like that. Like they can both get like 30-point games. Like Tatum would like doesn't really get as much double doubles as both of them do. And I also need the problem. And he's offering me two forwards for a forward, and LeBron James can also play guard along with. So that does make it, he does make a good point.
All right, Coop.
So hold on, TJ, really quickly, and then I'm going to throw it to TJ. Mm-hmm. Coop, if he's going to do this with you, you need to have cash or swag as part of the package.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cash. Cash considerations. TJ, real quick for Cooper.
Well, Coop, real quick. What Brockman is trying to do to you, buddy, is he's trying to subtract Celtics from you, right? That's what he's trying to do. You're a Celtics fan. But I've got Porzingis. So I may be willing to add Celtics to your squad. See, that's subtraction. This is addition. So that's all I'm saying is Porzingis could be available if the price is right.
Oh.
I mean, I do have four centers, so maybe not.
Okay. Oh, he's four centers. Cooper, I also have Derek White. I could throw him in the mix. If you,
no,
we can do a three for two.
I don't think Derek White's going to get as much playing time with the new roster, especially like Jrue Holiday is going to get like more playing time as well.
Well, Derek White's starting tonight, Cooper. We open against the Knicks. Let's go. Just see how
Poor
it goes first.
Zingas
see how
Coop.
It goes.
That's a Celtic coming to your team, not subtracting from your team.
Coop, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You hear me? Mommy said you don't have to do it.
I think the trade that I'm more like leaning to is Chris's trade because it's two players for one. And like, especially because I like four centers, the reason why I got like four centers for like block reasons.
Mm.
And like he has a better trade because like Tatum is like my number one pick, but
right.
Durant and LeBron James are both really solid players.
Good point. All right, Coop, don't rush into it. Don't commit anything with Chris Brockman. You hear me? Like, think about it, mull it over.
Poor Zingas.
You don't have to go anywhere. Coopy, before poor we lose Zingas. You, World Series prediction, Coop, because you love this one.
I think really Rangers in six because I think it's just a better matchup for them, like especially with the pitching. Like the Diamondbacks also might have like trouble with against Aroldis Chapman because my dad gets super annoyed because I say he throws strikes and he gets it so much.
But I thought you loved the Diamondbacks, Coop.
I do really like this Diamondbacks team, but I think it's a better matchup leaning for the Rangers. I felt like Rangers in six or Diamondbacks in seven. I really like watching these Diamondbacks.
All right, so do you want to go with Rangers in six or Diamondbacks in seven? You gotta pick one.
I think Rangers in six is going to be it.
I agree with you, Coop.
Why are you trying to make him switch his pick?
Hey, listen, I'm teaching him early. He's got to be decisive in his decisions here. Coop, you're awesome. You crushed it. Go to Vito's for lunch.
Porzingis, Coop.
I don't know if I'm going to Vito's for lunch.
Where are you
going to
go for lunch, Coop?
I have no clue.
All right, you get to pick.
He's got his whole day.
Great job. Flex, Coop.
Don't pressure him.
All right. Coop, thanks for joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. See you at home, honey.
Later, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Hey, from Cooper to Amy Trask, what a show.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you're asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.